Happy December, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of our Early Intervention Podcast. We've got a really special, heartwarming podcast this month. Tell us about it, Leslie.
Yes, episode 10, titled Tell Me Something Good, is a compilation of Birth to Three stories. Thank you to everyone who participated and shared their stories, and to our listeners. We know you will enjoy this special formatted show.
Okay, here we go.
Tell me something good.
Hi, my name is Abby Hughes, and I'm a speech therapist with Infant Toddler Services. I have a lot of funny stories I could think of over the years, but I will share one that always makes me laugh whenever I think about it. I was seeing a little girl and her parents, and we were working on speech, articulation, and also some language, just getting more words and using longer sentences. But she did really well after about, 6 to 8 months, and so I exited her. And before she was turning three, her parents called me and said, "Hey, I know it's been a few months since we exited her, but could you come out and just check one more time on things before she's three so that we can know that we're on the right track?" And I was super excited. So I went out to see how she was doing, and she was really quiet when I got in there. And mom was telling me a little bit about what she's saying and how clearly she's saying it, but I was getting nothing from her other than just giggles from behind her hands, which were covering her mouth, and she was being adorable. Horribly silly, running in and out of the room. And I thought, okay, I'd at least like to hear her talk a little bit so that I can see things for myself, get a little bit of an informal language sample. And eventually she took her hands off her mouth and yelled out, "I'm a stinky two pants," or something to that effect. And her mom was really embarrassed. She shouldn't have been, but she was really embarrassed and said, "Well, we're potty training and we're having a hard time not using our potty words all the time." And so the rest of the visit, she was running in and out talking about stinky toots and all of the potty words. And so I told mom, you know, that's a 4 to 5 word sentence. It sounds good. And I could hear it really clearly. I left going, okay, I think this girl's on the right track. But all the data I had was just an informal language sample all about potty words. So I love that story. And I love being a speech therapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, and I have a 21-month-old toddler named Wilson. Speech has come slowly to him. We got connected with our speech therapist, Sarah, who taught me to use more signs, gestures, and sound effects to help him communicate. With her coaching, Wilson has now learned several words and makes the gestures to say more, shh, no, 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 and P-U. It has been so rewarding to see his progress over the past few months, and Sarah has helped me gain confidence to teach him these new skills. I'm really thankful that early intervention specialists are so accessible in our area.
When you've been a therapist as long as I have, which is 40 years, there's a good chance you might find yourself in the home of the next generation of a family you worked with many years ago. I made the connection when I asked the mom of the baby how she knew about infant toddler services. She replied that her mother-in-law used to work in the office at infant toddler many years ago. It was then that I realized I not only knew the baby's grandmother, but had worked with the baby's uncle when he was a child. The connection made me feel like I was already part of this new baby's life. In fact, I felt so comfortable that when the mom told me how nervous she was to trim the baby's fingernails, I offered to do it for her. Considering this baby had only one hand due to being born with a limb difference, I now stop and reflect how, thankfully, it was a successful trim and I didn't mess up. And I feel very proud that I gave the first-time mom the confidence she needed to trim his nails from then on.
One of my favorite things about being a pediatric speech pathologist is some of the things that kids say. When I first started 30 years ago, I had teased and said, I need to write a book about some of the things that come out of these kids' mouth. And boy, I wish I would have. But a couple that stand out would be my Gestalt language learners. Those are the kids that give you whole phrases instead of just one word at the very beginning. And I don't know, for this podcast, it may not be very clean, but a little boy, 2 years old, that would remember songs and jingles. And at that time, McDonald's had a commercial that said, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. And he would repeat, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I shovel shit. And it was the cutest thing ever. And the parents were just so happy to hear his voice that no one ever corrected him. Another one, little boy, probably 4 years old at this time, and he was laying on his mat, supposed to be taking a nap at childcare, and he was laying in the corner singing the song, Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off. Oh my goodness. The teachers in the classroom trying to keep from laughing to try not to wake the other kids that were sleeping was priceless. How about kids that mispronounce things? One little girl, let's see, she's probably 3, and was telling her mom to watch her. She was doing jackastics instead of gymnastics. Of course, a lot of here kitty kitty. How about here titty titty? I don't know why I find so much humor in things that are just inappropriate, but there's something about it coming out of a child's mouth. And they look so confident saying it, yet it's just so wrong. What's another one? My gosh, there's just so many. Boy, how I wish I would have written that book. I could have been a millionaire, right?
Early intervention is quite the trip of a job, I will say. You never know what you're going to walk into. So just be prepared at all times for whatever might come your way. But I would say my favorite part about this job and career is getting to know people and becoming part of people's families and gaining trust to have them allow me to come into their home, which is a very intimate setting, and just support them and support their kiddo and help them reach their goals and support them. Support, support, support. It's just, it's a pretty rewarding job.
Hi, my name's Katie Holtin. I'm an occupational therapist with Infant Toddler Services of Johnson County. Some of my favorite things about being an early intervention OT is definitely the relationships, being able to laugh and sometimes cry and connect with so many wonderful caregivers, home nurses, other therapists, and medical providers. It's truly a setting of lifelong learning. I'm constantly working on growing, doing things differently, adapting, learning from families, which brings me to the next thing I really enjoy, which is watching the transformation and confidence build in the caregivers that I work with. It's really beautiful to see families grow to know their child better, for their child to get to know them, and for caregivers to gain that strength and that confidence of knowing what's best for their child. I also really like just the little bit of chaos that's sprinkled in. So we all know that life is a little bit of chaos, and especially with children, these families let us into their home so kindly and also show us the reality of being a parent. One of my favorite stories is a little gal. She spent a good portion of her early childhood in the hospital. She spent her first birthday there, her first holidays were there. And so when we were getting ready to exit from services because she was turning 3 and moving on to another program, we talked about what would be meaningful to impactful to the family, and they identified that she had never been to the park. This seems like something that is maybe a common thing for kids to do multiple times before they turn 3, but for this child and this family, this was a huge hurdle. They needed to bring her vent with them. They had to bring some pieces of medical equipment to keep her safe in case there was some sort of an event. It was both caregivers, her home health nurse, and I, and we said, let's make it happen for her. So it was a spring day, and we met them at the park. She got to participate by going on an adapted swing, going down the slide with her parents, standing up and playing with some different toys, and the look on her face was priceless. But even more than that was that look on her parents' face of that they did this, that was a confidence building moment for them, that they were able to take their child to the park and see the joy of the whole family. I think they probably took 500 photos. And so this was one of those moments that I look back on and remember. It wasn't about the milestones that we were working on. It wasn't about checking off a box that she did something or accomplished something. It was about giving these moments to a family and Since then, her parents have sent me many more photos of her going to the park. In addition to that, we helped get them resources to get a stroller as well as a wagon that was more accessible with all of her medical equipment. And so now she has gone to the zoo and she's gone to the aquarium and she's gone on vacation with her family. So helping a family kind of get the access to do something so important to them.
I recently received a new child on my caseload who has great receptive skills, but his expressive skills were lagging. And he was having a hard time controlling his behavior, often hitting mom, biting mom, as well as other children in his family. I brought out and introduced a voice output device, or an AAC device, augmentative alternative communication device. And immediately this little boy's eyes lit up and he understood what this was for. He was able to communicate to mom that he was mad. And when he did get mad, he didn't bite or hit. He went to a corner, cooled off, and came back. By the end of the session, he was using about 30 icons to label things in his environment, as well as request some things, and also tell his mom what he liked, that he was happy, and that most importantly, he was mad. If that's not a win for early intervention, I don't know what is.
Hey, Kelly and Leslie, I'll tell you something good. This is Alicia Delgado, early intervention provider for TARC Early Intervention in the Topeka area, and had an amazing experience recently with consulting for feeding for a mom and her two twins that were born at super early, like 22, 23 weeks, something like that. And we're going along working on some feeding things. I'm saying out loud of my head what all of the cues that her little ones were providing, and they both are at very different skill levels. And at the end, I summed it up with, and so what I'm saying is they're brilliant. They know exactly what they feel safe with doing and what they don't. And a lot of our job is helping to interpret those cues and meeting them where they are and keeping them feeling safe as they make progress. What I wasn't prepared for was mom's response to that, which was tears of appreciation and joy and excitement, as she explained to myself and the family service provider that she apologized for crying. And she said, you know, in all, they're almost two. And in all of the time that we have seen all these different specialists and for different things, nobody's ever referred to my children as smart or brilliant. And that meant everything to me. So every day we're out here in the trenches, working our tails off for all these amazing little children and their parents and their families. We have to remember that our words sometimes can be the most uplifting thing that the parents have ever heard, which is pretty amazing. We have such an opportunity to make such a giant difference for these children and families. So there you go, Kelly and Leslie. I'm telling you something good. This podcast is amazing. Keep it up. Rock chalk.
My something good is related to my firstborn daughter and the fact that I'm a therapist myself. I'm an occupational therapist. So back in the day, she was diagnosed with dysphagia, pharyngeal dysphagia, after a whole year of working really hard to keep her healthy. A lot of work went into that. And my something good is she found some thickener cabinets in the cabinet a few weeks ago, and she didn't know what they were for. Even though we spent 2.5 years thickening all of her liquids for her, avoiding things like popsicles and trying to keep her healthy, she didn't remember. And to add to that, she recently got into aerial yoga. And that is a challenge for kiddos that have any kind of muscle weakness. And so we're full circle going hard on doing flips in the air and doing hard things.
Wow, that is a wonderful tell me something good that you all were working hard. It sounds like for 2.5 years. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And yeah. I can do aerial yoga.
Yeah.
She's showing you that she can do all the things. That's so great. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us just a little bit about your experience with early intervention.
Yeah. So the beginning of our journey, as a feeding therapist, I could tell that she was aspirating from day one after birth. and just worked really hard to keep her healthy. Felt a bit like an island there, having to teach everybody involved in her life what to do to keep her healthy. And even then, she was sick about twice a month, which is a lot for that first year of her life. And then around 12 months, when we were bringing in different liquids in her life, I knew we needed to do a formal swallow study. So right at 12 months, we did a formal swallow study, brought infant toddler services in, parents as teachers as well. So all the early interventions to be our village and to really support, bounce ideas off of, and keep her healthy. And she really did decrease in the number of respiratory illnesses she had after we had that team on board as well.
How would you, in a few, three or four words, describe your experience with early intervention?
I would say early intervention, specifically infant toddler services, was like a village. Carrie was our occupational therapist. She does specialize in feeding. But every time we met with her, she would go back to the whole team and bounce ideas, get opinions, and bring them back to us. So it wasn't just myself and Carrie as a part of that village. It was people that I have yet to meet that I know really impacted our journey. So yeah, a village and then a wealth of knowledge, I would say.
Well, that's great. And like you said, we do work as that primary service provider, but we also have our team to help support us as the provider and families. So it sounds like you have the opportunity to experience all of that.
Absolutely.
So that's great. And that your daughter is doing wonderful and able to do aerial yoga. Love that.
Yeah. I should add to that. Carrie had to talk me off a ledge a few times about medical diagnoses because we never figured out her exact why she aspirated. So my brain went to all sorts of places like Chiari malformation, you know, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But now full circle being like, we're no longer looking for that diagnosis. We had the support we needed in the time that we needed it. And now we are full circle moving on.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your Tell Me Something Good moment about early intervention, about your daughter, the full circle moment, and the fact that she is four and a half.
Four and a half. She'll be five in February, yeah.
Doing all the things. So thank you so much for joining us to share this.
Yeah.
This is Megan McConaughey. I'm an OT and have been working in early intervention for about 20 years. And one of the most favorite things that I enjoy about my job is when families will reach out to me after we've had a visit together and they'll share a video or a text message with a celebration about the things that their child has accomplished. And it's always fun to get to celebrate those moments with my family. So I always have appreciated that.
Hi, Andy Reed here. Johnson County Infant Toddler Services. I'd like to just thank you for all you do, your early intervention for kids with disabilities is second to none. I've seen it firsthand with my grandkids, and you're just much appreciated and all the great work that you do in this Kansas City area. We need you and keep fighting the fight there. Thank you. Bye.
As part of our podcast, we want to highlight someone or something as it relates to early intervention by giving them a shout out. And today, our shout out goes to everyone who participated in sharing their stories for the podcast. So thank you to Katie, Abby, Alicia, Casey, Julie, Jaina, Susie, Savannah, and Andrea.
I also want to thank Andy Reed because I'm going to play that clip again. Anyways, that wraps up our episode of the Early Intervention Podcast. We wish everyone a happy holiday season. On January 1st, you can hear our podcast with Dr. Catherine Burns, a developmental pediatrician. And you can listen to the Early Intervention Podcast on all major platforms.
We want to thank Friends of Infant Toddler Services for their support with this podcast. We could not have made it this far without them, and we appreciate all of their support. You can learn more about their work by visiting our website, itsjc.org.
Okay, it's time to say goodbye.
Until next time.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.